Hi, welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People with New York Times bestselling author Carrie Jones
and her adorable husband Sean Farrar.
Woo!
Thanks for hanging out with us as we give some
life tips
and real life marriage banter.
Let's get started now with a random thought.
Hey, welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast where we try to make your life better even though we're weirdos.
If we repeat that discussion we just had,
we'll make
your life better.
No, we're not doing that. Anyways. All right, we could talk about it. Ready?
What?
Let's say you're a lady or a man and you're feeling a little chubby. You know, maybe you packed on the poundage of COVID and you're not secure enough to have your partner touch your body because you feel like your body's not at its best. Your partner still wants to, but you're a little uptight. And then one night you get super bloaty and sick. So bloaty that it's like you're 9 months pregnant. And you're like, yeah, you can touch my belly now. That makes sense, right? Because the bloaty isn't the norm. And it's not like, hey, you're going to be repulsed by me forever. You might just be repulsed by me one night if you're shallow and get repulsed by your partner's.
Well, then it should be a test
extra COVID stuff.
If you're not repulsed by me at my worst, you shouldn't be repulsed by me during a regular night.
I don't know. I got some things to work through. All right, ready?
By the way, I feel a little chubby every time we go to bed.
Oh, I only just got that. I only just got that because you wiggled your eyebrows, too. I was like, wait, what? Why would you feel chubby when we go to bed? All right, anyway.
Yeah.
Here we go. Random thought. Some random weird news to make you feel better about your own life, if that didn't just help. And it's from the Mirror and is by Kate Williams and Danielle Kate Rowe, lifestyle writer. And this lady had someone living in her house and did not know.
No, she did not.
Yeah, huh? She thought, like, she didn't believe in the paranormal, but stuff was happening. She got really, really scared, and she heard creaking all the time, and objects were
legit.
Did she
live by herself, can I ask?
No, she lived with a husband. And objects are moving, but this focuses on her.
Uh-huh.
Objects are moving in the house, you know, like, things are not there.
Being moved.
Yeah, okay. And, like, she doesn't see them move, but they're not where she left them. And the husband is like, yeah, I noticed the stuff too, but whatever, I'm not going to talk about it. He started taking their dog and making their dog go into the room before he went into
the
room. So he was obviously freaked out, too.
So he didn't want to admit his own scared
cattedness. Yeah. He was scared. He was scared of the scary noises, right?
Yeah.
And so she went to this site called Mum's Net so she could post anonymously. And she wrote, I'm not into the paranormal, but I'm getting freaked out in my house. We've lived here 10 years. The house is only 20 years old. It's built on marshland. A year or so after we moved in, weird shit started happening. Stuff moving around. Noises. The dog was going nuts in certain rooms. Doors opening by themselves, etc. My husband got freaked out by it, but started getting angry at me every time I mentioned it. He outright refused to discuss it, but admitted he had seen and heard the same stuff as me.
That's because he's the money man. He probably earns the money and he's like, we're stuck with this house. I'm just going to ignore everything that's going on.
I've got to tell you.
You be happy.
In my head, that's grounds for divorce. Anyways, so then she goes on and says, then it'll stop. Nothing happened for years. Years. All good. Then a couple weeks ago, I was messing on my phone, and behind me, I saw a shadow go past in the hallway out of the corner of my eye and heard it brush along the wall.
Wow.
The dog, a different dog, flew over me barking and growling, all heckles raised. The back door was locked. There was no way anyone could have gotten in without me or the dog hearing the front door. I sent the dog around the whole house. Nothing at all. I put it to the back of my mind, but ever since the noises have started up again, Footsteps on the first floor. Doors opening and closing. Muffled voices. My husband has heard it too, and is laughing it off, saying the ghost is back, but he, too, is randomly sending the dog into rooms and upstairs before him and telling me not to be stupid when I mention it. It's seriously starting to freak me out. It happened again 10 minutes ago. The sound of the floorboards creaking upstairs and the pattern of footsteps. My husband looked up and muted the TV, then the sound of something being moved. I said, "You're not telling me you didn't hear that." And he said, "I'm not getting into this shit again," and turned the TV up.
Wow.
It's a detached house and we don't have neighbors. What the F is it? So one user was like, "Oh, I'd move." And somebody else is like, "Burn it all down." And someone else is like, "You lived there 10 years and the house is 20 years. Have you checked all the rooms to make sure the occupants before you definitely left?" And other people were like, maybe it's haunted. So we don't know.
We don't know that somebody's actually living there.
Yeah, but I think
it's... What a deceitful
headline. I know, it was a totally deceitful headline.
Because, you know, sometimes people do have others living in their house they're not aware of.
I know.
I'm pretty sure one lady had somebody living in her closet for quite a while. Like, I don't know what kind of closet it was, but who knows?
So what do you think? Do you think it's haunted, or do you think it's,
Well...
someone's living in there.
I don't know. If somebody's living... Like, if we were rich and just had money to burn, I'd do that. I'd build a house that we could live in and not be seen.
Why?
Just for the fun of it. And then sell it to somebody and let them get all settled in.
Oh, my.
You know, have like a secret entrance in
and
out.
That's terrible, man. Be able to move through the walls. I could never do that to someone. They'd be so scared.
But the only thing that's weird is if it was like... paranormal thing, like the shadow, you wouldn't really hear it brush up against the wall, right?
That's what gets me. And the dog, like, definitely, like, jumped all over.
I don't know. Any of our dogs would be on. Nobody would be able to get out of the house or into, like, a cubbyhole or anything before our dogs were on them.
Oh, I know.
Even Sparty.
And the weird part of the story is that it stopped, too, for a good long time.
Yeah. Maybe they just went on vacation. Like, not the homeowners, but the...
the secondary homeowners.
Yeah, the secondary. Or maybe it's just a family house. Like,
oh,
hey, I'm going to go down to wherever they live for a while and stay in our old house.
Yeah, I can see that.
You have to, different family members have to reserve time slots.
All right, you're going to creep on them nets from August to September.
Yes.
I get the first 2 weeks in July.
Hey, baby, what are we talking about today?
It doesn't matter, man. It's just a podcast.
I know.
All right, so hey, it's called...
some content.
It's called Are You a Cheerleading Mutant?
What?
Yeah, see. Cheerleading Mutant. It sounds pretty awful, but it's actually a good thing because the optimism and gratitude of a cheerleader help make your brain healthier and life better, and that kind of gives you the sort of cheerleading persona. But where does that mutant part come in? Hang on. And we're going to tell you.
I sure hope so, baby.
I know.
I think you're a cheerleading mutant.
I think I might be. So first, let's define gratitude.
Gratitude is associated with a personal benefit that was not intentionally sought after, deserved, or earned, but rather because of the good intentions of another person.
And that's from Emmons and McCullough, 2004. Arthur C. Brooks wrote in an article called Choose to Be Grateful, It Will Make You Happier.
Beyond rotten circumstances, some people are just naturally more grateful than others. A 2014 article in the journal Social Cognitive and Effective Neuroscience, I'm done, identified a variation in the gene, CD38, associated with gratitude. Some people simply have a heightened genetic tendency to experience, in the researcher's words, global relationship satisfaction, perceived partner responsiveness, and positive emotions, particularly love.
No.
That is, those relentlessly positive people you know who seem grateful all the time may simply be mutants.
It's all about your genes.
Now I get it.
Right?
Yes.
So those super happy cheerleader people have a mutated gene.
Mmm.
I think that's amazing.
It is kind of amazing. Maybe they're Bigfoot.
Oh my god. It's not the fuse gene of the world. Anyways. I think that even though all of us may not have those cheerleading genes or gratitude genes, we can make the choice to become happier by working on becoming more grateful. It's like that smiling thing we talked about ages ago on the podcast, Boo. Like, really? Last month, yeah.
Ooh, that was ages ago.
Where if you really smile and move all your facial muscles, remember?
Yeah.
Your brain gets tricked into thinking you're happy.
Oh, mine usually thinks it's tired by the time I do that. I got a lot of facial muscles.
Oh, my Lord. Brooks says,
if grinning for an uncomfortably long time like a scary lunatic isn't your cup of tea, try expressing gratitude instead. According to research published in the journal Cerebral Cortex, gratitude stimulates the hypothalamus, a key part of the brain that regulates stress, and the ventral tegmental area, part of our reward circuitry that produces the sensation of pleasure.
Yeah, man. Pretty cool, right?
It is.
So, this guy, Martin Seligman, he founded positive psychology, and he believes that if you write notes to people telling them you're grateful for them, it makes you happier.
Oh, wow.
So that outgoing gratitude makes you more internally positive. And he suggests writing 2 a day.
Does he mean emails?
I'm sure he does. Well, I was thinking like, oh, my God, I never do that. But then I'm like, oh, I thank every single person who comments on every single post. And then I was like, does that count?
Yeah, it does.
All right. So, according to PositivePsychology.com's Madalena Roy Codhier, apologies if I butchered your name.
I think it's just Chowder.
No, see that? Oh, jeez.
No, I'm serious. Anyways, this is what they say. Simple practices like maintaining a gratitude journal, complimenting the self, or sending small tokens and thank you notes can make us feel a lot better and enhance our mood immediately. Couple studies have also indicated that partners who express their thankfulness to each other often could sustain their relationships with mutual trust, loyalty, and had long-lasting, happy relationships. It was revealed that the reason why some of us are naturally more grateful than others is the neurochemical differences at the central nervous system. People who express and feel gratitude have a higher volume of gray matter in the right inferior temporal gyrus.
Woo!
And yep. That's from Zahn, Carito, Mall, and Craftman, 2014.
It's Craftman.
Oh, that's not a G?
No.
Oh, it is a G.
Yeah.
Oh, Craftman.
Craftman!
That's right.
Like, I don't know.
Get us out of here, baby. Finish
all
it.
Right, so the article goes on to say that gratitude lessens pain, improves the quality of your sleep, and gets rid of toxic emotions. It helps anxiety and depression and stress regulation. It's a ton. It's like the superstar cheerleader mutant of the world. Like, it does a lot.
I know.
Thank you so much for being married to me. I'm going to just keep saying that so I can feel better.
Thank you, baby.
You feel better
as
yet?
The one that's truly suffered and and lowered their status and their standing in life. Thank you. But really, it all boils down to just one word.
Genes?
Sex.
No!
You thank me, and I have severe gratitude, so we're both smiling and happier. And we both benefit. Because thankfulness and gratitude.
What does it have to do with sex?
Well, if you thank me for being such a wonderful husband with loving,
oh, then I can express... no, that's not how this works.
Then I can express my gratitude...
That's not how any of this
...for your
works.
Thankfulness.
That's not how any of
this
works.
And we both benefit.
No.
Dog tip for life.
We were just talking about regulating the volume in our podcast.
In the podcast, but not the... Look how big those spikes were right there.
I know, man.
Holy Moses. Anyways, this isn't like a dog tip from the dog's mouth today.
Okay.
It's an observational dog tip from me, and I think you'll agree. Because of our two dogs, which one expresses the most gratitude?
Pogawogie.
That's right. Our little puppy, Pogie. She's gratitudinous. Like, just if you go outside for 2 minutes and come back in, she'll greet you at the door with a full body wag and slam into your legs and whine.
She'll be like, you exist still.
She might piddle on the floor a little bit. And Sparty, like, you can throw him a steak and he'll just be like, and walk off with it.
He's like, thank you.
He doesn't even say thank. No, he doesn't even know.
There's a tiny look of his eyes of thanks. The tip of his tail wags slightly.
But what I'm saying is he's not... Pokey's like constantly in a good mood.
Yeah, she really is.
You know?
Yeah.
Because she's always expressing her thanks and gratitude.
Until we leave the house and then she's afraid of everything.
Well, if we go out of the house is what you mean. Not if we leave her here home by herself.
We take her outside.
If we take her for a walk, then she's like...
It's all over.
A little wimpy dog, but that has nothing to do with gratitude or thankfulness.
No.
I think she's thankful that we're taking her out.
Where it's Barney, that's when he shows his most happiness, is right. On a walk.
Yeah.
He's like, I am grateful for this walk.
That's about the only thing he's grateful for.
That's not true. You're so biased.
I'm not biased.
You are.
This is, you know, a person. If they were people, which one would you rather hang out with?
Sparty, because he's chill, man.
I knew you were going to say that, but that's not the context of our discussion. Pokey would be a little hard to handle, probably, actually.
Yeah, but I'd be grateful for her enthusiasm. I feel like I'm a Pokey in the
especially
world.
Especially on
so
the down you are
probably
a Pokey.
Am a little overwhelming to people.
You,
oh,
let me see
nosy.
Let me see a full body wag, baby.
Anytime, baby.
Right now.
No.
Hey there. Thanks for listening to Dogs Are Smarter Than People. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and share your heart out.
These podcasts and more are at my website, carriejonesbooks.blog.
There's even a little donation button there. Because even a dollar inspires a happy dance in Carrie.
And Sean.
But hers are much better than mine.
His are funnier.
So thank you so much for your support.
The music you hear here is made available through the Creative Commons, and it's a bit of a shortened track.
Who is the artist and what's the song?
Well, it's Summer Spliff by Broke for Free.
I love that song.
He does.
Just because of the name.
He does.
Thanks for listening so much.
Boop.